I can't leave her alone. I've been fiending for chocolate, mommy.
Yeah, it's your boy John Doe. You know what time it is, baby. It's Chocolate City Radio.
Hey, what they do, man? It's your homeboy Blood Raw Chickadee, you feel me? B-Raw Steam, Mr. Motherfucking Rick Flip, jumping off the dresser that he is. Now tell me, right now you chillin' with my home girl, Chuck Mommy. You feel me on Chocolate City Radio? Yeah, this shit about to get real wet, homie. Now tell me.
What's happening? This is your man Money D, representing Mask and Digital Underground. And when I'm not having unprotected sex with your mama, I'm chilling out, riding a chocolate wave with my girl Chalk Mommy. You know how we do. We be killing them.
You're listening to The Vibes right now, hosted by the goddess, the queen, my babes, Chalk Mommy. And all of us right now, we all ride in the chocolate wave, because that's the only wave to ride on, isn't it? It's your boy Dylan Dillinger cruising. Let's get it. Boom, bang.
Tony Murphy Lee, you know what I'm talking about? This goes out to all my humans. Right now, you riding the wave right here on Chocolate City Radio, motherfuckers. And I'm the one and only Murphy Lee, you know what I'm talking about? Right here with Chalk Mommy. That's what we do. We get it in, all right? You see me!
What's up, everyone? This is your girl, Danny D. Just coming in to let y'all know that I love riding the chocolate wave with my favorite radio host, Chalk Mommy.
I can't leave her alone. I've been fiending for chocolate, mommy.
What up? This is your boy Noah Jones, Mr. Get With The Movement, or Move It himself. And right now I'm riding a chocolate wave with my girl Chalk Mommy. Holla at your boy.
This is that baby making music.
Hey, this is Vin Keaton, and I'm chilling with Chalk Mommy on Chocolate City Radio, the illest sex talk show.
We can do it all night long.
Hey, yo, what's good, Ja? This is Dude Stylistic. And right now, I'm riding a chocolate wave with my homegirl, Chalk Mommy. Let's get it.
What's up, y'all? This your boy, Carter B of 4Play Media Group, and I'm riding a chocolate wave with the Chalk Mommy herself.
What it is, man? Hey, this your boy's Cloud9 right here. You know what I'm saying? And what we doing is we riding the chocolate wave. Hey, got our motherfucking goggles on and everything. Let's do it. Hey, Chalk Mommy, fuck with your boys, man. Cloud9. Yo.
I can't leave her alone. I've been fiending for chocolate, mommy.
Hello and welcome to Chocolate City Radio. Tonight is normally Wild Out Fridays, but I decided to do something different. I decided to do current events. There are a lot of current stuff going on. Ooh, excuse me for yarning. I am sleepy as hell. But there are a lot of current events going on in the world, whether it's gossip, fucking economics, however you want to pronounce it, to the Roman church, to people killing each other, to Mike Vick's book. I mean, it's just like a whole lot of shit that we could talk about. So I decided, why not talk about it? So first and foremost, this morning when I was taking my son to school, I listened to a local radio station called 102 Jams, and I have to say Cal Centillion is fucking retarded, like literally retarded, because every hour they give you the update, on gossip. So, you know, they talked about Lil Boosie's hitman, they talked about Lil Wayne, and they talked about Consequence and the Joe Budden situation. But what made me, what tripped me out this morning was Cal Centillion was like, Lil Wayne does the wobble. And I'm like, oh, man, I've seen people do the wobble, especially at bikers events and stuff like that. They get there and they start doing the little line dance or whatever. But he was referring to Lil Wayne having seizures, and I thought that was so wrong. And that's because my daughter had a seizure, and I saw it firsthand, and that is not something I ever want to experience in life, and I would never make fun of someone that has had one. But from my understanding, Lil Wayne has migraines, and he's supposed to drink 4 quarts of water a day, and he doesn't, and that's what triggers his seizures. Me personally, if you know that you're supposed to take care of yourself, and there are certain things that you're supposed to do, then by all means do it, especially when your life is at risk. You have kids, you have fans, you have supporters, you have friends, you have loved ones that depend on you to be here and, you know, be around for a while. So, hey, take care of yourself. Stop drinking that syrup or scissor or whatever the fuck it is you drink in that cup. Stop smoking. I mean, hell, you got a truck fit line out. You know, but, you know, I'm just saying, be positive. Just do the right thing. Be around for your fucking loved ones, for peace sake. So, you know, that was one of the things that kind of stuck out and made me laugh this morning because I was like, wow, they did ask wrong for that one. Then, I don't know why I keep yawning. This shit is crazy. But for somebody that looks at love and hip-hop as much as I do, I had no clue that Consequence and Joe Budden was having beef. And then, you know, why is it on all the love and hip-hop reunion shows, there's always beef going on at the shootings, you know, at the filming of the shows. But when it airs, they don't never want to show us shit. You know what I'm saying? Look at Love and Hip-Hop and ATL. There was so much shit going on behind the scenes, they ain't show us nothing. They just showed us a little bit. You know, my thing is, you know these people are roguish. You know they're going to fight. They're ghetto. They're ratchet. That's what you want on the show. So why not show everything? Don't pick and choose what you want us to see. Damn it, it's a reality show. Show us the real shit. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, boom, you got Consequence nothing, Joe. Then you got Tahiri hitting Joe. So, I mean, hitting Consequence. So it's just like, okay, what in the fuck? Like, are y'all going to show this on TV or not? Because if not, I'm going to start getting pissed off and tell you about yourself. Hey, Jazzy, what's up, girl?
Hey, girl, what's going on?
Oh, I'm sleepy as hell. I can't stop yawning. I know it's so rude. Just chilling tonight. I'm talking about current events, things that's happening in the world. I wanted to do, like, this really big, not even going to say a really big show, but I wanted to do this show about, and I need to do some more research and get some people to call in or whatever, but my cousin did a post on Facebook the other day, and he was talking about Mike Vick's book and how a lot of people didn't want him to write it and put it out and everything like that. And, you know, he was supposed to have a book signing tour, and he canceled it because of all of the death threats towards him, his family, Barnes and Nobles, and other people.
Crazy.
Yes, and this is my thing. Okay, you got all these retarded-ass activists and shit like that, right? This man has paid his debt to society. He went to prison. He did 18 months, and everybody felt like he deserved a chance, another chance. So he's in the NFL. He has his endorsements back. If I'm not mistaken, he's making more money now than he was before he got locked up. But this is what I don't understand. Okay, cool. What he did was wrong. I'm a pit lover. I love pits. I don't like the fighting thing. That was wrong. But where in the fuck is the Humane Society when last year, you remember the Kentucky Derby and that horse that they ran so hard that he broke his legs and they put him down?
Right.
Okay, where the fuck was the Humane Society at then? Why wasn't they sitting there protesting that? Why didn't the person that shot the horse, why didn't he go to jail? And why didn't they just let the person, why didn't they adopt him out? Because there are plenty of horses that get broken and they send them to farms and people nurture them back to health. They may not be a racehorse anymore, but they're still around to, you know, live. when the fuck, how come wasn't no charges pressed against them?
Well, I mean, that's a very easy question to answer. I mean, it's because of, A, the nature, and B, the significance that it carried. So you have to think about what type of industry dog fighting is as opposed to what type of industry horse racing is. And let's just be very frank, horse racing is acceptable in, you know, white public society, which is typically what the majority of those hardcore animal activists are, right?
Yeah.
Dog fighting is not. Dog fighting is a hood event. That's not, you know, that's not a nationalized sport. So that's why, you know, that's why there's the difference there, because it's a social difference.
I mean, I completely agree. That's what trips me out. Because I'm just like, the color of your skin allows you to do what's right and what's wrong. Because me personally, I just feel like I just need to get some people from the Humane Society, because I want to ask them. I'm like, okay, y'all are here for cruelty to animals, but y'all sit here and overlook other shit. Why is that? You know what I'm saying? Like I said on Facebook, I said, let a Spanish person or a black person bet on dogs and chickens, they go to prison. Let a white person bet on horses and greyhounds, and they go to the bank. What the fuck? That's just crazy. But, I mean, that's society. That's how we live. That's what people do. I can't really, I mean, I can complain all fucking day, but it's not really going to change nothing.
No, no, it isn't. Which is sad, but like you said, it's very true.
But then, if I start calling motherfuckers out, then they're going to feel a certain kind of way. Then they might be like, oh, you're harassing me. How the fuck am I harassing you? I'm asking you a question that deserves a fucking reasonable answer.
Right.
But, you know,
I mean, it's very interesting. The reality is, though, is that organizations such as those do have a lot of power and a lot of backing, and that's why they could do the types of things that they've been doing to Michael Vick in terms of, you know, threatening him, et cetera, because of the type of backing that they have. They're, you know, they're a legit organization of some sort, so... Very interesting.
They can miss me with that bullshit, because at the end of the day, I don't give a fuck about what kind of power they got. They can suck my dick when I grow one, but in the meanwhile, they can suck my dildo. But it's just like, that just pisses me off. And then it goes back to a person getting caught with crack versus a person getting caught with cocaine. Racially motivated.
Well, I don't really know. I'm not very knowledgeable about that, so I don't know what the difference would be.
It's like, if you get caught with powder, okay, you get in trouble. You know what I'm saying? Because we know most white people do powder. But it's a known fact, and it's racially slanted, that black people do crack. So basically, all they do is take the cocaine, add baking soda and water, and cook it up, and make it into a hard substance, right? So if you get caught with an ounce of powder, okay, you'll get in trouble, you'll get a fine, and, you know, depending on where it's at, if you say it's personal use or whatever, okay, you could get probation or you could get a very minimal jail sentence, right? But let a person get caught with crack, they throwing you under the fucking jail. It's the same thing, except for you cooked it and made it hard.
Right.
And most black people, like Master P, make crack like this. You know, they sell it, boom. It's harsher. It's a harsher sentence. And to me,
it's not fair because it's the same
right.
thing. All you did was cook it. Now, the one thing I do agree on is when it comes to heroin or smack, you get fucked up seriously on that. Like, because that drug is so physical. That's like a physical dependency on it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like you have to, when you get hooked on heroin, you actually have to get hooked on another drug to get off. I think it's methadone or something like that. So when you get caught with heroin, they not even playing the radio with you. They will fucking lock you up for life, no chances of parole or nothing. And that I can understand because it's so physical.
Uh-huh.
And then you got the meth. And it's nice to see that they're really cracking down on that because so many people are getting killed. And it's not because they're using the drug. It's because of how they're batching it. They're batching it, and their fucking houses is blowing up, and they're catching on fire. Kids is catching
uh-huh.
on fire. They're just fucking up everything. They need to go to jail.
Right.
So it's like, you know, I know in Georgia, they have strict laws. Like, when I was locked up, this one chick, she burnt, like, 90% of her body. And her husband got life, and she got life or something like that. And they wrote a law about meth after they got caught and after they, like, blew up a block. You know what I'm saying? And I was
they
like,
burned up
wow.
their body from doing that? Like,
yeah, because when you're making meth, it's like you're a chemist because you're using some crazy-ass chemicals. Some people use, like, liquid plum or some shit, they were saying. Like, people use all kinds of shit. Have you ever seen a person that smokes meth? Have you ever seen their teeth? It looks like they've been chewing rocks.
Thank goodness I have not.
Okay. But when I moved to California, it's like, I come from a crack age. Like, on the East Coast, people do crack. You know what I'm saying? Now meth is taking over, but back then it wasn't big. It was ice. So when I moved to San Diego, everybody is tweaking. I'm like, what the fuck? And that's a mess. I'm like, what happened to crack? And that's what everybody
that's
did.
Crazy.
And because of the chemicals that's in there, you have to brush your teeth all the time because the chemicals will actually eat your teeth up, eat up the enamel, and just start fucking eating up everything. And it's sad because I'm just like, wow. And you stay up for days. One hit can, like, depending on what it is, you can stay up for, like, 24 to 48 hours.
I swear I know somebody that does that, but they try to tell me something different. Like, I work with I have a student. I swear she does that. Like, the story she tells me, like, she told me her mouth was all messed up because she had a calcium disorder. But then she also be like, she can't sleep. She says, I bet.
Wow. Damn. Ooh, she lying.
And now that I think about it, it makes sense because one of the things she was saying was, like, you know, Child Protective Services had taken her children away, you know, and she, you know, of course nobody ever wants to tell you what the deal is, but she was telling me that, you know, they gave her random drug tests and she failed the drug test, but it's because she was taking pain medicine. So, I don't
really?
Know.
I take pain medicine. And if I had to take a drug test, which I wouldn't have to unless I'm applying for a job, they would see that. And if you have an explanation why you have drugs in your system, like you go to the doctor, they give you pain medication. You know, if you have surgery, periods, sprains, migraine, whatever ailments you have, and it's not that serious unless you're, like, literally abusing. And they can't tell by drug tests if you're abusing prescription drugs or not. Now, if you're tweaking, of course, meth is going to show up.
Right.
If you got Scotty beaming you up, that's going to show up. if you're smoking weed and, you know, saying that you're in Cali, if you got a fucking card, I mean, you should be okay. That's understandable.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She got weed in your system. Oh, what's that card?
But,
okay.
Yeah.
You know, oh, you know what, before I go any further, I don't know if Rich is listening, but Rich, if you're listening, my prayers and my love goes out to you and your family. They buried his nephew today.
My condolences, for sure.
Yeah, I need to, I'm going to let him have this time this weekend, and then I'll hit him up on Monday to see how he's doing. So what do you think about this Pope situation?
Honestly speaking, it's so funny when it comes to stuff like that. People always ask me, how do I feel about, like, different issues that come up in the media, and my response is always pretty the same. I feel like there's so many other things that can be discussed instead of giving attention to people who do nothing but praise attention. I don't really have an opinion on it because it doesn't directly affect me or my children, you know. And I feel like regardless of what I say or what you say, it's not going to change because matters of the Pope is never a public issue. It's a private issue between the Pope and, you know, and the Catholic form of government, if you will. So I feel like it's one of those things where you have to just agree to disagree.
But isn't this the first Pope to retire?
It's probably because he has too much stuff. You know, he probably doesn't sleep well at night.
Yeah, because they were saying this is the first Pope. Yeah, they were like, this is the one, first one that ever retired. And I'm saying to myself, like, okay, me personally, I couldn't stay in power when I know that most of my supporting brethren are fucking kids. Like, this is what I don't understand. How is it these priests can fuck little boys and all they can do, all that happens is they get shifted to another, you know, another church. Like, no one is, like, going to jail for molesting kids that's, like, a Roman Catholic priest. And I'm not really understanding that unless you're, like, low on the totem pole.
Right. That's what I said. It's like you probably just not sleeping well at night, but you kind of just have to agree to disagree, you know?
Ma'am, the shit I don't like. That's crazy. That is just really crazy because when I was incarcerated, I read this book, and I couldn't remember what the book was. I can't remember the name of the book now, right? But it was talking about how after Jesus died, how the devil was looking for a way to get his foot back into the church, right? Because, you know, when Jesus died and he ascended to heaven, that was a victory for the Christians, right? So they said the way that the devil got his foot back into the religion was through the Roman Catholics. And it was like, back then, as long as you read the Old Testament, you were good. But as soon as you start messing with the New Testament, it was a problem because they felt like you do not get on your knees and confess your sins to Jesus, to God, and you know how that order goes. You have to come to them, and then they have to go to God for you. So, and with that being said, they massacred a lot of men, women, and children because they was reading the New Testament and they was following what Jesus wanted them to follow. So there was this one man that felt like the Pope was the devil himself sitting on the throne. He said, because what gives him the right to have all white on when Jesus comes back and we're caught up in the air and we're changed into our white garments, that's when you can wear white and be pure and sanctified. You know what I'm saying? And he was just like, he felt like the Roman Catholics was the epitome of evil, and that they had no right to be like, you have to come through them to confess your sins. And it's just like, ever since way back then, it's like it's always been something about the Pope. And it's crazy because that book was so good, and I cannot remember the name of the book. Because I used to get a lot of different books from different churches and stuff like that. And this one particular book caught my attention, and I sat there and I was reading it. And what he was saying was making a lot of sense. Because when you think about the Roman Catholic Church, so much stuff goes on in that church. You have so many procedures and protocols that you have to follow. From when you turn, when you become of age, when you're getting married, you have to be counseled. You have to do this. To get a divorce, you have to be counseled. You just got to go through so much ass-kissing for this religion. And it's sad because for me, it's like, yes, I grew up as a Christian, and I have questions because at the end of the day, do we really know what's right? All we know is the doctrine that we've been taught by our ancestors and that was taught by their ancestors and whatnot. So, like, at the end of the day, when Judgment Day comes, like, was we really studying what we were supposed to study? Was it, like, something false or was it for real? And that's something that I think about a lot. But all I can do is just be like, you know what, keep a pure heart, pray, and try to do right by people.
I think
because at the end of the day, because at the end of the day, that's all we have.
And you're right about that because, you know, many different people practice many different religions, but it doesn't make them any better than you or I. And you're right, it's a matter of upbringing. That's typically how people will choose one path or another. Sometimes people will, you know, stray from maybe whatever it is that they grew up witnessing. But you're right. And I think that you kind of hit the nail on the head. It's more so just a matter of doing the right thing and staying true to your conscience, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you have to because at the end of the day, you can get caught up, drawn in, and spit out and don't even know what happened. And for me, I don't want to be caught in that situation. But, you know, on a lighter note, I have been having conversations with a certain Mr. G2.
Yes, yeah. He's so sweet. Like, oh, what a nice guy.
He really is, and you're such an instigator.
I know, but that's part of my job description, I feel like.
Oh, to be an instigator?
Absolutely. So, like, that's part of my job description. So, yeah, I mean, I'm happy, shoot. Like, I feel like, you know, I feel like that was a good thing that I did. So I'm happy. I have no regrets.
I bet you don't. I bet you don't.
It's okay, you can thank me later.
It would be really nice if he could come down for my mixtape party, considering that he's going to be on there. That would be
I'm sure that if you ask him, he will definitely make sure that he makes an appearance. He seems all about it. I'm just saying. He seems like he's all in.
Yeah, he does. And what I told him is because he wanted his other people to come in. What did you hear any of his songs on Tuesday?
I began to hear one of them, and then I kind of got disconnected. I had a few other things going on, so I certainly apologize for that on last week exiting so suddenly. But it was a crazy day. I had a lot of stuff going on. So I didn't get to hear all of his music, but I've been seeing the Twitter reviews. I've been seeing people like, tweeting and retweeting like crazy, so I'm thinking it's pretty dope.
Yeah, he has a very large following, and he's very popular with the college radio stations, and he has, like, a song on ESPN or something like that, from what I could gather from when he sent me the email and everything like that. So he has this song called Give It Up, and, yeah, I went on Top of the World. And then my favorite is For Sholi. Like, that song right there, it's just like, that's the first one I listened to, right? And I was like, what the hell? Because I let my daughter listen to it. And she was like, Mommy, we don't have the same taste in music. So she really wasn't trying to hear it, right? But I wanted her to hear it, and then I wanted her to see the video. So I let her listen to, like, maybe a minute of it, and then I took the computer around, and she was like, what the fuck? Because the guy singing sounded black. And she was just like, wait a minute, he doesn't even look like he rap. I'm like, exactly. And I was like really, really shocked. So I'm gonna I'm gonna play For Sholi for you, and then I'm gonna let you give me your input after you hear the song.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, For Sholi by G2 and Bay Love.
Hey, hey.
You. Promise not to let me go, promise not to let you. But you done messed up my plan since 1982. Take one, I'll be a movie star. Take two, I might be taking you. But now my conscience in it. Play the game, play to win it. Love got six or seven voices, man, it's like I'm schizophrenic. But when I'm lonely, I remember all the things you told me. Gotta stay, gotta go, for sure. For Sholi, for Sholi.
You were so cold, trying to paint a picture, you and me grown up. Round two, spitting real true. Daddy talking out with no game on you. Green light, shorty, let's play. Getting hot and heavy ever since the first day. 2 months, got me in a trap. Never know you're texting him, making hell of a
Okay, now what do you got to say?
I actually, I like it because I like it because it's not like difficult to understand and it's easy listening. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like that get your blood pressure all high, now you want to go out and shoot five people. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's cool, it's easy listening. So I like it.
Ew. When I heard that song, I was just like, oh, my God. Like, I really like that song. And it just, you know, it just took me to another place. I'm like, oh, yeah. And I like the diversity. You know what I'm saying? And it's just, like, a very mellow song. And, you know,
yes,
being a radio personality, you know, I got to play all types of music and stuff like that. But, you know, if I could get away from that, pop your guns and I'm going to choke somebody, I'm going to murder somebody kind of shit, then I stay away from it. Or if you just a fake-ass person, I kind of stay away from you too. I want to be different, you know what I'm saying, with how I do my music. And I think that's why I like being the music, I like being the underdog. I like the underdog, meaning I like the indie artists because I like giving them an outlet to be able to express themselves, people hear them and everything like that. That's why I'm, like, really excited about doing this mixtape because I've never paid more than, like, $25 for a mixtape to be featured on something. Well, this mixtape, I'm paying $200 for it to be on Coast to Coast mixtapes. So it's like your shit gotta be banging to be on this mixtape. I've turned several people away and gave them their money back because it was not up to par. I'm not out here to take your money when I know that you do not have the sound that I'm looking for. And
right.
People respected that. They was like, you're not even gonna charge a listening fee? No, I'm not. Like, that's dumb. I mean, somebody was like, well, Grand Hustle, I'm like, yeah, they charge you $5. I'm not Grand Hustle. I'm not here to hustle anybody. If your track is hot and I like it, it will be on the mixtape, $25. And if I don't like it and you paid for it, you will see your money refunded through PayPal. And I just sit there and try to do good business all the way around the board. And for this particular mixtape, I'm actually going to have a mixtape release listening party. And I'm actually going to let the artists that came out to support me, I'm going to actually let them perform. And then we have ATK Tees. They're going to be out. They're my T-shirt sponsor. They're going to have T-shirts, you know, for the people that participated in it and stuff like that. And it's just going to be like, to me, it's like a new step. It's a new direction that I'm going in because after I do this mixtape, I mean, all my mixtapes have done pretty well. But after I do this particular mixtape, then people are going to be like, okay, you know what? I really got to fuck with her because it's like a lot of artists don't believe in investing a lot of money in their career. They're investing money in the wrong shit. So
I feel like,
and fucking bottles and making it rain on stinking ass bitches in the club. But I feel like with me doing this and they see how hard I go, they'll be like, okay, you know what? I don't have a major project, but I have one song. And now it only takes one song for you to get discovered. We learned that with Trinidad James with that All Gold Everything. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, as like, I have one song on her mixtape, and it's being put all over the internet, and it's being promoted like crazy. So, why wouldn't I invest, like, this particular mixtape that I'm doing now, March Madness, it was $25 a slot, and you also get a page interview in the magazine. You know what I'm saying? So, to me, I lowballed it. But it was worth it because now other people are going to see that and they're going to be like, oh, shit, I got to make sure I fuck with Chalk on that next mixtape. I slept on her on this one. You know what I'm saying? Then, wow, she did a party, and motherfuckers came to perform, and she recorded that shit, put it on YouTube, and I'll let each artist get their own footage. You know what I'm saying? I'll chop it up. So I think I'm doing quite a lot. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
right.
It's like
I'm excited for the mixtape too. By the way, I'm excited to really see that come together. I think that's gonna be pretty dope.
You know, I'm super excited because it's like it's been a long time. Because you know, with the damn surgery, I had to take time off, and it's like I honestly, and this is what I'm gonna write about in the magazine. Once I had surgery and I had to go through everything that I went through, I honestly didn't think that I was going to be up to modeling again. I honestly didn't think that I was going to be the same again. I went through the little self-esteem shit with the scars on my shoulder, but I'm like, you know what, fuck it, they're small. They could have been, it could have been bigger, you know what I'm saying? And when I did do my first photo shoot in Atlanta last month, I fucking killed it. You know what I'm saying? Then I came back and I did another photo shoot last week. I killed that. You know, I said when I come back, I'm coming back harder than ever. And that's exactly what I'm doing. So then it's like we got the transition of the radio to TV. So what I'm going to start doing is next week, I'm going to go on Indiegogo because I saw, what is it, Fund Me or Get Fund or some shit. I can't, you know what I'm talking about? It's like a fundraising platform.
Absolutely not.
Okay, you know what, I'm going to tell you what it is. It's, oh man, hold up. What the fuck? Oh my goodness. See, that's the, okay, GoFundMe.com. And with GoFundMe.com, it's like, you know, you ask your friends and family to donate for your cause, and you get the money right then and there. And I actually looked at that platform today, and I was just like, oh, that's really interesting that you get it right then. But I was like, no, that's not what I want to do. I want to do Indiegogo because that's the platform that Obama used when he started running for president back in, when did he first run for president? Oh, damn. Was it 2000 and, he got elected 2008. So when he first started back then, because you remember how he had raised so much money online and everything like that? So that's the platform that Obama uses. So it's like you have two options. You can do funded or fixed. Now, if you go funded, that's you set a goal and you reach that goal. And then you get your money. But if you go fixed, they charge you like 2.9% per transaction and another 3-something percent. And, you know, if you don't meet your goal, the money that you did raise, you get to keep. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go on Indiegogo, and I'm going to tell people why they should help me take my radio show and turn it into a TV show. And not only is this going to be like a TV show, it's going to be like a traveling show. Like, I go to different cities and states, and I'm interviewing people like artists and stuff like that. And what I want to do is, while I'm in that state, find cameramen and pay them to be my shadow. So that's helping put money into that town's, you know, pocket.
I think that's a really good idea, and I didn't know that that was actually the platform that Obama used. So, I mean, that just goes to show, you know, you have to be creative and think outside the box. Because who'd have thought, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and it's kind of, it's interesting because it's like, it's endorsed by him, and to me, it's a lot better than Kickstarter and that GoFundMe. I mean, that's cool, but I'm not really feeling it like that. I'm really feeling Indiegogo because it allows you to lay out your business plan, and you have your perks, And when I went and looked at the examples on GoFundMe, I really didn't see any perks that they had. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, it's just different. So I'm like, I'm going to start my video. I'm going to write a treatment for it and start doing it. And I'm going to have bits and pieces of the radio show and different stuff. And then I'm going to fund it for like 60 days. And then whatever money I raise, I haven't been to California. So California is like the first city, you know, first state that I want to go to. And, you know, interview artists. And then it's also helping me put my brand out there for mixtapes that I'm going to be doing, future magazine issues that I'm going to be doing. And, you know, I have my liquor sponsor. And the way that I have planned it is, okay, I always stay at the Wyndham chain. So after I check into enough Wyndham properties and I'm recording and documenting it, guess what? It's time for me to hit them up and be like, okay, look, for the last past month, I've been doing a documentary and, you know, / reality type situation, and I've always checked into your hotel and I talk about it. So now it's time for you to sponsor me. I need free rooms.
Well, starts all with a dream, and you certainly are building up a network of clientele and a network of sponsors. So I think that's something that's very well possible, you know? And it seems feasible to keep doing stuff like that all the time, so.
Yeah, so that's what I think I'm going to do. And, I mean, I have it all planned out. I have it mapped out in my head and everything like that. So it's just, it's quite interesting. Cloud9 Radio says, GoFundMe. Indiegogo is nice. A client of mine made $500K easy there. Okay, was that on GoFundMe or Indiegogo?
I'm sure that you will make the right decision.
Yeah. I mean, because like I said, when I saw GoFundMe, I'm just like, okay. But it's just something about Indiegogo that draws me to that. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, like with the different perks, it's like so many things that you can offer your fans, your supporters, and your followings. You know what I'm saying? And it lets them feel like they're a part of your growing process. You know, I'm all for that, you know. So that's what I think I'm going to do. So I'm going to bring in Rob from Miami. He has his hand up. What's up, Rob? How you doing?
What's up?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Rob, I haven't heard your voice in a very long time, sir.
I've been busy for a very long time. I check in from time to time and listen in and see how y'all doing. That's an interesting conversation that y'all was just having, though. I caught the tail end of it, but I'm pretty sure it was good.
Oh, yeah, tonight is like current events, and, you know, we're just chilling, you know, nothing major. Just tripping out on how the Pope retired. I guess he got tired of all of the fuckery and fucking the little boys and shit like that. And then we're talking about Mike Vick's redemption. You know, he went to prison. He's writing a book. Now he's being threatened. But, you know, and we're just talking about how crimes are racially slanted, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, what I need to do is find somebody from the Humane Society and bring their ass on the show and give them hell.
Why you say that?
Because my question is, okay, y'all went hard for Mike Vick with fighting dogs and killing them and shit like that, but why the fuck y'all not going hard for people that run horses into the ground for the Kentucky Derby, and then when they break them, they shoot them and put them to sleep instead of, like, letting them heal and adopting them out to somebody? Why is that?
Well, I mean, you know the obvious.
It's the obvious, but I want them to obviously give me a fucking good answer on my damn show so I can cuss their ass out.
You want them to admit it, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So how about this? How about we just call their ass one day and find out? See, we have to do it early in the day.
And see, in the daytime, I got too much going on because I have school. You know, I'm a single mother driving around, taking a fucking 18-year-old to school that want to skip. So I'm just like, why the fuck do I got to get them to take your ass to school when you don't stay in school all day any damn way? That's the kind of day I be having.
That's so sad.
Yeah, I'm just like, shit, you 18. I can stop now. But, you know, motherhood never stops. It never, never, ever stops.
That's true. Look, when it comes to, when you got to draw that line, you know what I'm saying, when you stop giving a fuck about yourself, man, you know, like, what can you do? You got others to worry about.
Man, he the baby. He the last one. I thought I had it easy.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shit. He 18. It's time for this motherfucker to fly the coop. I'm about to be good. Nah.
I just had another one on Sunday.
You just had another what?
Another son.
You still fucking without condoms?
What? Yeah, I love you.
I just said you still fucking without condoms. Damn.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations, but damn, Cletus.
I mean, it ain't like it was a prostitute. Somebody ain't know. You feel me? I mean.
Is that your girlfriend?
Huh?
Is that your girl? Is she your girlfriend?
Yeah, it's not some random female. Ain't no random hoe.
That ain't what the fuck I asked you. I said, is that your girlfriend?
If I didn't use a condom, that's an obvious thought, right?
You know what? You so funny. So I'm
you
so
gotta answer
your girlfriend,
the question, Rob. You still didn't answer the question. You gotta say it. Say it. Say it.
What? Is that my girlfriend? Yeah, of course it is.
Okay, so are you faithful to your girlfriend?
Very much so.
Okay, so what you're telling me is if I come to Miami, you ain't going to give me the dick.
We might get together. We might We might double team you.
Double team me?
Yeah, you heard me right.
Man, if you don't get your ass off my phone line.
You asked the question and I gave you the answer.
No,
right?
I'm just doing you like you be doing me when I tell you I'm talking to somebody and you was like, and that don't mean nothing. I'm
what
still going to get that.
And you ain't never answered the question like that either.
I just tell you I don't cheat.
Okay, well, I didn't
And you're like, I ain't trying to hear that. You're like, I ain't trying to hear that. So I just thought I'd give you a dose of your own medicine.
I didn't say I do cheat. I said we're going to hit it together. That's sharing. That's not cheating.
I'm sorry. that don't work because having a threesome with me, you'll forget about that chick and just want to give me all the dick the whole night, and then she's going to be mad.
It sounds nice.
I got that make you not want to share the dick kind of pussy. Like, oh, honey, I fuck you all the time. This right here is a once-in-a-lifetime type of opportunity. I'm going to ask you that you please be patient and understand that I need to fuck her without you, but I'm going to come back home, and we're going to pick up where we left off because she don't live here. She's just going to be here for one night and then get the hell on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not a nice talk, Mom. You got it all worked out. I like the way you think.
Of course. Of course.
All right.
Now, what the hell you got going on?
I got a few things going on. Right now, I'm watching the Heat game, so it's kind of hard to concentrate. But we're doing pretty good so far.
No. What do you got going on business-wise?
I can't say again.
I said, what else do you have going on business-wise?
Well, I got a few things that I'm dabbling in. But right now, my major thing that I'm putting most of my time in is I have this Black Bike Week up on Myrtle Beach for Memorial Day weekend. We have an event that we do up there, outdoor stage. You know, it's put right on the strip, so we perform in front of everybody that's out there, thousands of people. And there's an opportunity I put together for independent artists to come on and showcase their talent, broaden their horizon, expand their fan base, you know, mix with the other artists and network, sell CDs, T-shirts. It's the whole environment to get them out that local mentality. I feel like that's where a lot of these artists go wrong. So they friends and family to like their music. They feel like they're made it. You know, so.
That's what I'm going to do. My girlfriend's going every year. And they've been trying to convince me to go. So I just may see you out there. I might be going this year. So
it's a big thing. I mean, I'm in Miami for Memorial Weekend. Now, here's pretty big, too, but Myrtle Beach, man, that reminds me of the days of the Freak Nick, you know, back in Atlanta, man, in the glory days, 92, 93. You walk down the street butt naked, and nobody say nothing.
That's probably why my girlfriend likes it so much. So maybe TBA on that. I should be posted.
No doubt. I'd definitely be there. Memorial Day weekend.
I can't do bike week, and I don't feel like I'm missing anything because it's changed so much and all the things that goes on. And I'm not trying to be judgmental or anything like that, but I just have a problem when women allow themselves to be degraded and then get mad when a man turns around there, dogs you out, like fucks you and just dogs you out and then talks shit about you, and you'd be like, well, why? Well, bitch, you was walking down the strip with a fucking tee back on, making your ass clap, and you got all these dudes grabbing your ass and titties and groping you, but then I give you the dick and I don't want to fuck with you no more, and I pass you on to my homie, and then you feel offended.
Okay, well, how would you feel if you respected you the next morning?
Huh?
How would you feel if you paid your compliment the next morning? Well, that was the best head I ever had, though. The best
place
I ever
had. Well, see, I'm not going to put myself in that. I know, but I would never put myself in that predicament. You know what I'm saying? To each his own. And we all know that Memorial Day weekend, whether it's at South Beach or at Myrtle Beach, it's a fuck fest. You fuck as many people as you can. You go out, you wild out, you get drunk.
Trick
it if you got it.
Why do people go to Vegas? Why do people go to Vegas to do shit that they don't do at home? You know what I'm saying?
I know, but I'm just saying, it's just, for me, it's like, you know, because it's just weird because it's just like, you know, why you got to go out of town to do all of that, but then you get mad when everything comes back because everything you do in the dark comes to life. You know what I'm saying? Then you got the videos and everything like that. Because I had one of my friends when I lived in Fort Lauderdale. He came down. He was like, man, I fucked 14 bitches this weekend. I'm like, really? And I'm like, you're proud of that? That was fun for you?
That's what I'm pretty sure was fun for him. When you're in the moment, shit. You do. I mean, that's why people do fucked up shit, because they're in the moment. But you're not thinking about it. You don't think about it till you get home a week later or whatever the case may be, and you reminisce. But when you're in the moment, no, they're not thinking about it. You're very proud of it. You know, and that's the best opportunity to get the videos and pictures. Nigga, pose with that dick in your mouth. You know what I'm saying? That's what they do. That's because they're in the moment, but they think about it later on, you know, in life when they got kids and they want to change, but, you know, that's what it is. Like you say, to each his own. You know what I'm saying? I think it would be a good idea for you to come and do your show from there, like a live remote type situation.
I'm good.
Fuck was going on in the streets. I said, fuck was going on in the streets. I'm not there for what's going on in the streets. I can see that crazy shit down here Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel you on that, but I stay clear of Myrtle Beach because any and everybody know that weekend is just a weekend for them to make money. The simplest shit, you get a ticket or you get locked up for, and it's just not my cup of tea. Like, I'm 44. I've never had the desire, even with my Chalk Mommy situation, to go down there and brand myself. I just be like, I'm good. Last year, or the year before last, Bone Thugs and Harmony was performing at the House of Blues. I had VIP access to everything. I'm good. I'm going to pass. And if they was paying for everything, I'm good. No.
All right. Well, I mean, you know, that's a preference. That's I mean, I guess because you're from that area, you understand. You know, I'm just trying to get artists. But my whole point is to get artists from all walks of life, from, you know, all over the country, who normally don't get a chance to go outside their city limits, you know what I'm saying, who's used to performing in front of, 30-40 people, you know what I'm saying, and put them in front of a situation where they normally wouldn't have an opportunity to perform in front of these type of people without me. You know what I'm saying?
And then, good luck, because if it's a situation where they got to pay to perform, that's all I can say. Independent artists, a lot of independent artists are lazy, and they got the game fucked up.
I understand that. That's true. You know what I'm saying? That's one of the main reasons I don't manage artists anymore. But at the same time, they have to be educated. A lot of them just don't know. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of them you got to treat like an only child. They want everything to be done for them. But you got to teach them that if they want to get to the next level, they have to do a lot of this shit themselves. You know, I mean, inspire me to want to work for you. You know what I'm saying? Inspire me to want to invest my money, because if you're not willing to invest your own money, then what's the point of me? What's the point of me investing money into you? You know what I'm saying?
But I mean, you can do that all day long, and some of them will get it, some of them won't, because we had this discussion on January the 8th and January the 11th. I did a show called Artists Step Your Game Up. And I had industry people call in, had magazine people call in, and that show, it was a two-part show, they gave the artists a lot of free information, free knowledge on what to do, what not to do, and, you know, some people took it in, some people took it out, you know what I'm saying? And
sure.
I told myself that, you know what, I'm going to do a show like that more often, because it was interesting to see all my friends that was willing to come on my show, take time out their busy schedules to put artists up on game, what they needed to do to take their career to the next level.
Well, that's what most people need to do. You know, I feel like we owe it to the game to educate these young cats coming up with all this fucking talent, but don't know what to do with it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the biggest problem I see, everybody's out for profit. It ain't nothing wrong with that. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you have to look at it, you know, from like a Red Cross standpoint. You need to help get to the next level. And education, man, it's like the public school system. You got to educate these up-and-coming artists on how to do it. A lot of these cats that done made it, they get their money. They done used the game for what it for, done got their money. They done moved on to other shit, TV, movies, other careers, and they done forgot about the up-and-coming artists. You know what I'm saying? I ain't shit. I'm just good at what I do, marketing and promotion. So I feel like I can take my knowledge and put it back into, you know, investing into these artists, and hopefully somewhere down the line, one or two or three of them get inspired to do what they got to do. You know, maybe they'll remember the old boy or something like that. You know, I mean, it's just all about putting, you know, getting them to do the right thing and make good music. Cause I'm sick of a lot of this garbage that's out there, man, and floating around, and it just don't make no fucking sense. So I'm just doing my part, you know what I'm saying? A lot of other artists and entertainers and entrepreneurs, cats from all different walks of this entertainment industry, is more than just rapping and singing. You know, you got the behind-the-scenes efforts, and you got the people that's on the microphone. You just come together and educate these artists on how to do it the right way and represent themselves the right way. You know, I think this music industry would be a whole lot better. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, putting out my mixtapes and giving them the exposure. So the motherfuckers piss me off, and then I'm going to stop. And then it's like artists need to understand that just because you're popular in your hood doesn't mean you're going to be popular somewhere else, and that, you know, you got to see the bigger picture. And a lot of people don't do that. And so it's like you got to put in a lot of street work, leg work. You got to get your shit popped. you got to get your social media up. And a lot of artists don't understand that. I understand that some of them are, like, street dudes and everything like that. Kudos, you know what I'm saying? I'm a street bitch. But at the same time, I know that in order to be seen outside my hood, I'm going to have to get my ass on the net. And I got to push that damn Twitter. I got to push that Reverb Nation page. I get that Facebook fan page popping. You know what I'm saying? It's just certain things that I have to do. Because, like I tell people, I'm not an artist. I'm not a DJ. But I do a hell of a lot better numbers than a lot of the artists and DJs out here. That's why whenever I put out a project and people see the numbers, they're, like, sweating me to be on my next project or DJ or trying to lock me into something. You know what I'm saying? And I just feel like, you know, I like to spread the wealth. I like to work with a variety of different artists. I don't like working with the same artist all the time. I've been working with the same DJ for the last 3 mixtapes because his work ethics are the same as mine. And he likes to push it just like I do. He doesn't get complacent and lazy and be like, oh, well, we're right here. Okay, I'm happy with this. No, we go to the next level, you know? Jazzy Cloud 9, I mean, damn, I'm bugging. Cloud Nation wants to know why you're not talking.
I'm listening. I'm like, you know, I'm observing. I'm not in the, I don't deal in the music industry. So I don't really have a lot of input with regards to that. I mean, I love music, and I retweet for people all the time, and I'm always, you know, I can give my opinion about what I like, but I feel like I'm not knowledgeable enough to really have an opinion in terms of saying that it should be done one way or the other. So I don't know
what,
enough about the industry in general.
What is it that you do, Jazzy?
I mean, I sell adult toys. You know, I have a toy company, and I'm working on some other things. I'm starting a consulting firm. And, I mean, I talk to people all the time about what their ideas are, their thoughts, their dreams. You know, people pay me, you know, to do that. But I'm also very realistic in terms of, I have to do my research first. And, of course, I've been, especially since being on this show, I've met tons of artists. That much is true. I've talked to tons of people now in the industry, but still, like, I don't feel like I'm knowledgeable enough about it to have an opinion. Maybe I should branch out into that. Maybe I should, like, dip into the music industry. But
people look at, like, this platform, this show, it's a great outlet. What Chalk do with the mixtapes and everything is a great outlet. What she do with the showcases for the listening parties and the artists performing is a great outlet. And that's what a lot of these artists are looking for. Why? Because a lot of them they're not getting booked for shows, and a lot of them don't even know how to even start the process of getting booked for shows. You know what I'm saying? Or even go and perform somewhere. So a lot of them make this music. They don't have an outlet. They don't, you know, they can't go into the club and get it played, and they don't know having a relationship with any DJ to get them on the mixtape. So a lot of them are just
now. That much I can say. I don't know much about the industry, but I agree with that. Like, I do know that in any type of business you do, whether it be with music, selling adult toys, or starting a T-shirt business, or whatever your dream is, it's very important that you do network with lots of different people so that you can get yourself out there. And it's not even a matter of necessarily promoting yourself, but you're building good relationships. And I think that people miss that key factor. They try to go from point A to the finish line, and it doesn't work that way. You have to build a good network.
It's all about network, and that's what I do with, I have the Independent Artist Network. It's a network that I'm starting, and it's artists networking with other artists. You know what I'm saying? These shows that I'm providing for these artists, it's an outlet. It's a means that a lot of the artists are looking for, but that's not the only thing that comes with it. What I'm trying to promote to the artists that's a part of these performances, these shows, is to network with one another. So you have an artist in Cassidy working with an artist from Milwaukee, or an artist from Chicago network from Miami, or they all networking together, but at the same time, if they can get on each other's music, that'll help them cross-promote and get their presence known in each of these individual cities. All the cities we do our shows in, like I said, we got the Myrtle Beach thing, that's one thing, but I have a 10-week college tour, HBCU like college tour coming up. Same atmosphere, same environment, but we hitting all the major black colleges, football games and all that type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? And with a lot of artists to perform in front of thousands of people. Not many people can say that, that they can give you that outlet and mean it. You know, motherfuckers talk shit, y'all let you open up for Gucci Man. Yeah, Gucci Man might have thousands of people, but by the time you get your ass on the stage, there's going to be maybe 4 or 5 people there. You see what I'm saying? I mean, you just have to, like, the outlet, that's all they want. They just want to get on the stage and perform and show the world what they're capable of, but a lot of them don't have the opportunity to do that because you got a lot of promoters that's putting together shows, but the shows is not an opportunity for the artist. You know what I'm saying? An open mic, yeah, you win a couple of dollars, or you get studio time. Everybody got studio now. So I don't really need no studio time, you know, and $200 isn't doing nothing for me as an artist. You know what I'm saying? Put me in front of thousands of people where I can come out and market and promote myself, sell 500 CDs, and leave with a couple $1,000 that I can invest back into my future or into the next show or something like that. You know what I'm saying? That's what it's all about.
What I would like to see, since we're on the topic of, since tonight's topic is current events, this is actually one of the reasons why I called in, because I wanted to talk about this, but we started off on another tangent, but I would like to see artists, I mean, I know that sometimes some artists do make social conscious music, but I would really, really, really like to see that be a primary focus as opposed to every now and again an artist will have it on his heart to make a song. It's more of a random thing as opposed to a constant social conscious thing, but I would certainly like to see that. I would like to see the trend change in music so that people feel like they are the minority if they are, like, living on the edge, like, you know, getting high or shooting up people or robbing people or what do they call it? Like, I was talking to somebody the other day, and he asked me, like, this hella random question about, like, about how would I react if I was in certain situations. And he's, like, trying to explain to me, like, I'm asking him, like, what the fuck is gorilla? Like, he was explaining to me what gorilla pimping was. And he's like, I know you heard that in songs before. You ever heard when they said da-da-da-da-da? I'm like, I probably had, but I didn't really understand what that meant. And when he broke it down and explained it to me, I was disgusted. Like, not at him, but I was mad at the fact that, like, this type of thing happens. Like, why is that okay and people talk about it and make music about it? And then so kids go out here and they think that, that type of shit is acceptable. Like, that bothers me on many levels. So I would like to see more people make social conscious music to help artists as a whole.
That's an example of art imitating life, you know. I mean, a lot of people, I guess to them it will be socially conscious or it will be fun if it's a situation that they experience personally. But, I mean, there's a lot of stuff you can listen to in the music and know that, okay, that's some shit they made up or something like that. But I feel you know, I mean, we never know
that's
what people
you think about it from an aspect of being a grown-up. But I'm talking about, because I think at this point we're grown, right? So it's like at this point you're either going to get yourself together or you're not, because you're grown. But for the younger generation, they listen to this music and they aspire to be like these artists that they listen to. So they aspire to have racks on racks on racks. They aspire, you know what I'm saying? Every little girl now wants to be a video vixen. Like, every little girl wants a fat ass, flat stomach, and double B's. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what our younger generation strives to be like. which means that our young men are listening to the same thing, and they think that it's okay to, like, do X, Y, Z, A, B, C. Same thing with girls. Like, they feel like it's okay to be treated this way, that way, or the next way. And people just aren't socially aware, and I'm sure that there's a lot of reasons why. Everything from the way that maybe they're brought up, lack of resources, lack of education, or whatever the case may be, but I feel like we still need to have some sort of social responsibility to ensure that the next generation does better. We are destroying our future generation. We're not doing anything to leave behind a legacy at this point, as a whole.
Okay. Well, I mean, I definitely understand what you're going for. We do need more music out there. That's why I say, I mean, better music, better quality of music. There's a lot of crap floating around out there that's shown on the radio every day, 10 times a day. And you wonder, like, you know, where is this shit coming from? But, you know,
I agree.
It is what it is.
Since they want me to talk more, I'm going to say what's been on my mind all day. I'm sure you guys have probably been reading on the news or hearing, or not reading on the news, but reading online and hearing on television, et cetera, about the guy who, I guess he has a few different aliases, that is wanted for allegedly spreading the HIV virus to 300 plus people, both men and women.
The fuck out of here.
What? I remember the preacher in Atlanta that was HIV positive and was fucking a woman in his congregation and gave it to him.
No, so this guy is a young guy. He actually, like, all bullshit to the side, the dude is actually kind of handsome for real. And the black guy, he's 6'2", 185 pounds, medium dark skin, wears a Caesar. I guess he's from the New Jersey area, but has gone all over, including Atlanta. That's where his most open victim is from, the Atlanta area. And he's bisexual. He's prostituting himself on lots of different gay websites. And he's spreading the virus both with sexual transactions as well as drug needles, because he's a drug user as well. And, he's allegedly spread it to 300 or more people. And I guess people are still kind of coming forward. He's doing it in a deceitful manner, obviously, right? He's not just
coming forward.
He has AIDS. But he's doing it in a deceitful manner in which he's pretending like he's using condoms with men, but will take the condom off, like men will see him strap up with a Magnum, and then during the event, he sneaks the condom off, he's infecting men. I was looking at it today online. I had talked to my son about it. My son is 10, and I had to have this conversation with him about how, you know, the way people look means nothing, and so never fall victim to the ignorance of, you don't look like you have something, or you look like you have something, or whatever the case may be, because that doesn't mean shit. Like, somebody can look perfectly normal and have a whole lot of stuff wrong with them. And this guy, like, it was this blog of one of the victims that came forward, and he was talking about the fact that he was young. He was, like, 19, going to college in Atlanta, and came from an influential family or what have you, but he was very mixed about his feelings because he had never had sex before. He liked girls, but then he also kind of had a thing for guys. He fucked. And so one night he got drunk and explored his options with this dude. Sexual encounter. The dude said he was using a condom, but didn't. Like, he snuck it off in the, you know, during the process, and months later, come to find out he had the AIDS virus, or HIV rather. He's HIV positive.
And then I guess he saw the dude flash of what was happening with the dude and recognized his face. Because the guy told him his name was something different. And he had an apartment in Atlanta. And, of course, when the boy went back to look for him after he found out that he had the virus, the guy, you know, of course he didn't live there anymore. But he recognized his face seeing it, I guess, in the news or on the Internet or something. And called the New York City Police Department to step forward and say, hey, that's the guy that gave me the virus, and this is what happened. So he used a different alias. So he has, like, 5 or 6 different aliases out there that he's using. So that's really why I called in, because that was my current event issue that I felt like your listeners should be aware of, that, you know, there is a guy that's going around pretending to be straight sometimes, pretending to be gay.
You know what's scary is you can tell people that and know that, and people know that there is a threat, or, you know, but they will be dumb enough and still fuck around.
And then that particular instance, that's shame on them, right, because you're dumb. So there are two types of victims, I think. There are those that don't deserve to be victims, and then there are those where it's like, well, I don't understand why you're so mad at the world. So if you purposely, like if you choose to, in this particular day and age, sleep with a random person without being tested or without using protection, or even if you use protection, like that's not even 100% people. Let's just get that straight. There is nothing on any package that says using this piece of equipment is going to make you 100% safe. There are no guarantees. Only guarantee is to not do it. So if you take that risk, and it goes left, you have nobody to blame but yourself at that point. But if you are put in a predicament where you have no choice, you're not given the option, then those are people who I feel like, those are people that I have more empathy for, which it seems like this is kind of the case. I mean, no one has actually said rape, but there are some women who are like, he caught me at the gas station, and this is kind of what happened. So I don't know. But if you don't wrap it up nowadays, shame on you. I feel like you're, you know, I mean, if you don't do that, like, how do you in 2013 not do that?
This is going to be a crazy year. I mean, because, like, it's like, let's see, how can I explain it? It's just going to be a lot more fuckery going on. Like, as the years come, as the years pass, it's just so much fuckery, just so much shit. Like, every time you cut on the news, it's just like, boom, 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 boom. Let's look at Chicago. It's like so many people are getting killed. Like their murder rate is like fucking ridiculous, and it's only what, March? And
can I just
it's
say
like,
something about that?
Huh?
You know what makes it so sad? Let me tell you how you know that we have a problem. You know that it's a problem with the way we are spending, and I hate to be so. I hate to make things seem so segregated. I'm not at all segregating things by race, saying that one race is more important than the other or anything with regards to that respect, because I know that you have a broad variety of listeners. But you know, people, it's time for you to get your shit together when white people start complaining that too many black people are dying. That is how you know that there is a problem. When you have white people saying, this is enough people, come on now, too many. That should signify to you that something is wrong. Something is wrong. Like, something is definitely wrong. I'm be quiet now. But that was my piece. Like, when white people say it's too much of killing us, like us killing each other, and they say that it's too much, that should signify that there is, like, a big-ass fucking problem.
You know, life is crazy. I'm glad that, you know, my city isn't that off the chain. But it's like I had JoJo Capone on the show, back in January, and he was talking about the crime rate, and then he was talking about the artists that that are big, but they're not doing anything. They're not giving back to the community. But, you know, they have people thinking like, oh, yeah, I support this, I support that. And it's really sad because, you know, you should never forget where you come from. And I tell people this all the time, especially artists, the moment you forget about your fans and your supporters is the moment they forget about you, and then how the fuck you gonna eat. And then he was talking about how, you know, he goes out and he speaks to kids about, you know, the violence and, you know, the consequences of carrying a gun, shooting people and stuff like that. And it's really sad that, you know, you got to start talking to kids at a very, very, very early age about murder, getting jumped, gangs, and all this other stuff like that. The world is so crazy now than it was when I was growing up. Because I'm 44 right now, and for me growing up, the biggest fear that I had was when I was 9 years old and the Ku Klux Klan came into the project and they shot up people and it made, you know, the history books and everything like that, and they started having rallies, the NAACP, you know, marched, and then right after that, the Klan decided that they wanted to march, and, you know, I was scared that, you know, the Klan was going to come across the railroad tracks, because I stayed across the railroad tracks from the project, and that they were going to shoot me, my mama, and my brother. And, you know, that was, like, one of the biggest things, because when I was growing up, people just fought a lot. You know what I'm saying? They used their hands. They would shoot the ones. It wasn't about shooting you. You know, now it's like you have an altercation, and you get your ass whooped, you want to come back and shoot everybody, you know, and that's really bad. So, you know, it's just the state of mind. It's just fucking crazy. It's just crazy. You know, I don't know what the hell my grandkids are going to have to look forward to.
That's what I'm saying, because they're killing off the generations younger and younger, you know, and it's going to become the end all. And it's because that's what I was saying about being socially conscious. You know what I mean? Like, somebody had to teach us. Somebody taught us, you know, Marvin Gaye, what's going on? Like, there was socially conscious music made. It was still trendy, you know, and it was still edgy, and not every last single one of their songs was like that, but they still felt a sense of social responsibility to ensure that their people didn't, you know, that people didn't go to hell in a handbasket. And in this particular instance, it's not even about any particular race.
Let me.
You can look at any race and point out things that are real fucked up.
Let me explain something to you. When it comes to the type of music, I mean, a lot of people don't really understand how it works, what get played and what get promoted and marketed. You have a lot of artists out there that's conscious. You know what I'm saying? You got a lot of cats that makes real good music that, you know, you can sit down and listen to and have a real message behind it. But guess what? That's not what's selling right now. You understand what I'm saying?
And I understand that, too.
The major labels are not giving these guys the opportunity to get out there on a big scale. You see what I'm saying? That's why people like Chop with her outlet with the radio, and you got, you know, other cats that do the same thing, try to do it, you know what I'm saying? But you can only do so much because the radio stations in your city, they playing the same 10 artists every day, all day, and they all screaming the same goddamn thing.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Even though 2 Chainz had to say he was different, but really he's a carbon copy. I get it.
Yeah, Exactly. So it's not like it's not a lot. It's not good music. There's a lot of good music. I have to trust.
Well, yeah, and I know that there is, and I don't just mean it from an artist level in terms of the person that's in front of the screen. I think that the industry in general.
It's the fans. It's the fans, because we demand that bullshit. You see what I'm saying? They're not going to play it unless we demand it. So it's not the artists that need to be educated, I feel like. I mean, it's the consumer. It's the fans. They don't know. Like say, the Marvin Gaye crowd, that shit is come and gone. Now it's a whole bunch of they want Mollies and they want this and they wanna be fucked from the back and slapped in the mouth. That's cool. That's cool when a motherfucker can piss on you and talk shit about you, and you know what I'm saying? That's what we want. They want that pussy in their face. So they ain't got no worries. I ain't got no worries because all my bills are paid. You know what I'm saying? So that's what they're looking at it, and that's cool.
And you're right. And that, I mean, you made a very good point. So people's priorities are messed up. People are saying as long as they have a bad bitch, they have no worries, or as long as they have X, Y, and Z, they have no worries, or whatever. But you're right, because it takes more than that to make the world go around. So I agree. And I'm with you on that one. I sleep good at night because I know what my FICO score is like.
I try to
have a job today or tomorrow, I'm still going to be straight because somebody is going to give me some money.
Well, I ain't worried about the pussy in my face. I am not worried about the pussy in my face. I know myself very well. So it's like, you feel me? I mean, that's not a necessity right now. Like you know.
Was that just another way of saying you be jacking off, Rob?
I mean, shit, read between the motherfucking lines. I jack my dick. Any nigga that say they don't do it, they lying. You feel what I'm saying? I'm a stringent, strong endorser of Jergens lotion. So, not the perfume kind, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, you got to teach your kids, man, you know, what the quality of music is. And the meaning behind music. So when they get older and they look back on it, 5 years from now, they're going to be looking at the shit they playing now and say, they're calling them shit oldies. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Back in the day.
Which is
all
sad.
That type of
shit. Which is sad.
You know what I'm saying?
That's sad,
so
that
it,
those are going to be considered the classic. You know?
Yeah, those are going to be the classic. 2 Chainz is going to be the classic 5 years from now. I guarantee you he's going to be making do 5 years from now. He won't be making music 5 years from now, but he's going to be considered a classic 5 years from now, a classic artist. And that's fucked up because you got artists out there like Common and you know, Mos Def and Talib Kweli that's been making good music for years. For years.
And
they make more money doing movies, which is, I mean, they're going to make more money shooting movies, but they had to go into that to make money. They really weren't making no money back to music because people wanted, they music wanted getting promoted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's that, baby?
Yeah.
So,
man.
It's all about how we educate the kids and put the music together and teach them that all this crap out here is crazy. So that's why Chalk got to keep doing what she's doing and playing that real music, promoting the real artists, and telling them other motherfuckers off.
Man, listen, I'm trying to be nice because I've been getting phone calls from friends, from mainstream artists that I've been dissing on my show, saying, Chop, can you please call a truce, man? I can't come on your show and you be talking about my homeboy. Fuck your homeboy. Is he paying my bills? Is he giving me some dick? Never mind, I don't want it. But I'm like, don't be calling me with that bullshit about a motherfucker feeling a certain kind of way because I'm dissing him. Last I checked, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom to diss, freedom to do whatever the fuck you want to do. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, because I am a radio host, and I am a magazine owner, and, you know, I am a product of the media. I have to be fair. I can't be biased. And I can't be bashing artists and talking shit about them when I have their artists on the show and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, last I checked, I still pay my monthly fees for my fucking radio show. So that gives me the right to do whatever I want to do and say whatever I want to say. Just like I feel like Michelle and Barack should have a swingers party at the White House and they should let me come so I can feel on Michelle's booty and we can be turned up.
That's what's up.
Well, you know, just like when you said it last time, I in no way, shape, or form does Jazzy Sanity Inc. endorse this message. I am totally opposed, for the record. And that's all.
That's all?
That's all. I'm. You know, I feel like talking about the Obamas is like talking about the King family. Like, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to talk about feeling on Betty Shabazz. I'm not going to talk about feeling on Coretta. And I damn sure ain't going to talk about feeling on Michelle. I just feel like there's some lines.
Okay, so what you're saying is, if there's a swingers party at the White House, right, and they allowed you to have a table to sell your sex toys and shit, you wouldn't come do it?
Oh, no, I would sell my product, but I'm not feeling on Michelle's booty. Now, she chooses to purchase items, you know, from me, then I'm more than happy to do that, and I will probably even just give them to her as a promo so that she can show them to the rest of, you know, the people that she runs with. But I would not talk about, like, I just want to feel on the show. I wouldn't do that. There's just some things I wouldn't do. I get very disturbed when I see, even when I see it, like, online and stuff. You know how people make them stupid-ass comments with Barack Obama's face? Or, you know what I'm saying? They say stupid. Like, when he won the election and people put his picture up there and they had the chains on and it was, like, two turns. I thought that was the stupidest shit ever. Like, it bothered me.
What if you're at the party and Barack comes up to you and he's like, yo, Jazzy, I heard you had the bangin'est toys and stuff like that. Can you demonstrate this toy on Michelle and how it's supposed to be used properly?
At Barack Obama's request. However, I am not going to say that I know, because I'm just not going to do it. Now, if Barack calls me up and he asks me a few questions, then perhaps maybe, you know, that will be a conversation that we've had, but nobody else will know.
You put your damn disclaimers.
I support you on that. Okay, what nobody say. I feel the same goddamn way. They royalty. They should be treated as such, and all that other shit. It's crazy. I've seen some dumb shit on Facebook, too. I done got mad and cussed people out.
They did the same thing to Bill Clinton. I mean, they've done it to all the other presidents. It's just that we have a different social media. We have Instagram now. But it's different. What?
It's different. And the difference is this. Barack and Michelle is the first to represent us. Yeah, black. Bill Clinton representing black people, but he wasn't black. It's a difference. You know what I'm saying?
People didn't start getting out the way with, I mean, I'm sure people made comments here and there or whatever, but realistically, people did not start getting like that with President Clinton until the Monica Lewinsky situation happened. And then it went shortly after that, he was no longer in office. So he was no longer the president, really, when the majority of this shit kicked off, or when he did something to constitute people saying things like that of that nature. We have not had anything happen with Barack Obama, and I feel like if anything, we're hindering him as a president because people already don't respect him. Think about it. Even in today's media, he's been elected for the second term now. When you listen to mainstream media,
what do you hear people say? Even I hear people all the time, every day, like I'm in San Diego all the time, a bunch around a bunch of Republicans and, you know, very white right-winged individuals, and they don't even address him as President Obama. They call him Mr. Obama, but no one calls him President Obama. George Bush is still President Bush. Every candidate is. People even refer to Bill Clinton as President Clinton, and they're no longer in office. So I feel like when we do those things, making mockeries, even though it's meant to be fun and games, I think that it's still derogatory, and I think that it takes away from the point of him being our elected official in the first place. I think that it demeans it. It diminishes it.
I mean, I see your point, but then at the same time, you got to think about, okay, it's like President Obama is a different kind of president. You know what I'm saying? So it's like he's very casual in some of the things that he do, so people take that and they run with it. Like when he did the roast at the when he knew that he was about to kill Osama bin Laden, and he's sitting there roasting Donald Trump, and he brings up Biggie and Tupac. And then when he's, like, singing, it's like, you know, a lot of people just be like, they're just comfortable with him and just be like, okay, well, he's my president, but I consider him to be, like, one of the homies. And that could be with how he presents himself in the public with some of the things that he says, some of the things that he does. Did you ever think about that sometimes?
But I think that's just his demeanor. I mean, he that's just how he is at home. And you want that. You don't want somebody in the public eye that's going to act every time.
But people, with his demeanor, people just get so casual with him that, yes, he's the president, but they just like, yo, that's Obama. That's Barack. You know what I'm saying? I mean, white people,
I think that that's just a matter. Think about it. Every presidential candidate, every presidential candidate's job is to appeal to the public. That's why they have public polling. That's what public polling is for. It's so that the presidential candidates, or candidates in general, right, because it goes for many variations of types of offices that people run for, but the objective of public polling is so that candidates can get views on how the American people think in terms of what they want to hear during election time, what they want their candidate to be like. And so when people say they want him to be sociable, when people are more so leaning towards these issues as opposed to those issues, the reality is we as Americans vote for the president that aligns most with what the views are, which unfortunately things were more so based off of social issues as opposed to factual things. So his job as a president, or even as a candidate at that point, was to convince us that he was a sociable type of guy and that he was the type of president that you could talk to and say, hey, come on over for dinner. That's what people wanted. They wanted a friendly president, and he did a very good job at displaying that, but that still doesn't mean that it's okay to demise his characteristics either. I think that that's a totally different subject matter, in my personal opinion.
I mean, being familiar with a person and you know, comfortable with them is one thing, but it's totally disrespectful when you got pictures floating around of, you know, two people in a strip club fucking, and they don't superimpose Michelle Obama's face on the female and his face on the guy, and he hitting him from the back. You see what I'm saying?
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I mean, but it gets crazy like that. I'm not talking about, you know, people just that may just have like, oh, yo, that's my, you know, my president is black and my Lambo is blue. I mean, that's okay. But when it's to the point where you just straight disrespecting the man image, you know what I'm saying? And then that's supposed to be funny. That's not funny. What's funny in that? You know what I'm saying? What if somebody put your mom and your daddy face on that picture and then floated out throughout the world? Even though we all know it's fake, but it's just disrespectful.
Exactly.
You know, and that's how I look at it. That's how I look
at it. Like I said, you don't see people doing that stuff about any other presidential candidate.
regardless of how social they were. People didn't start doing that stuff about Hillary Clinton. They still don't. They're respected to the utmost. And, hell, like, think about it. You say that Barack Obama is so social, so it's like, oh, this is my dog. Like, this is Barack Obama. Like, he's a homie. But the reality is, if you look at it from a statistical point of view, that's not true at all. Like, Barack Obama is actually very conservative. He's a Democrat, but he's conservative. If you look at where he stands on issues and subject matters and how everything aligns on paper, he's very much so to the right. He's a very conservative president, as opposed to maybe like Bill Clinton or somebody like that who is very liberal. So it's not right, but people want to put him in that light simply because he's black. So you feel like he should be cool. That's just like when we go someplace and we expect to get the hookup because somebody is black. You're like, come on, dog, hook me up. Like, I know you talk to them in a different manner as opposed to when you see the white guy behind the counter. You talk to the black guy different because you feel like you should have that in. And
they want the hookup. That's what all the blacks want. They want the hookup from the black president. But they forget he half white.
Think about it. Shine. Shine endorsed Mitt Romney. Why? Not because he was a good presidential candidate, but because he was pissed off at Barack Obama because Barack Obama wouldn't grant him a pardon, and he got his ass deported. But he felt like because Barack Obama was black, he should have let his ass stay here as opposed to getting deported back to Haiti. So now he's pissed off. He supported Mitt Romney, went publicly talking trash about Obama, saying how, you know, he was a bad president, XYZ, ABC, endorsed Mitt Romney, thinking that he was going to have all of his, which he probably did have some of his music influence over, you know, younger voters voting one way or the other. Because why? He felt like he should have gotten the hookup. If George Bush denied your ass the pardon, Shine.
Who's the artist? Shine Barrow?
Uh-huh. George Bush denied him for the pardon, so he waited for Barack to be elected. Barack denied him too. So, crazy. What the hell you say, Rob?
I said, who the fuck is Shine Barrow? He don't have no influence over nobody.
Shine, he came out public and he's overseas calling any and everybody out trying to be relevant again.
Yes, well, Shine, for the record, is now, you know, he's living, where did I read that he was living last? I want to say he's living in Jerusalem. I really want to say that.
He's
living
in Jerusalem. He's done embraced the Jewish culture, changed his look. Like I said, Shine is just overseas, fucking miserable, calling everybody out, trying to be relevant. You've called out the gang. You dissed Kendrick Lamar for no reason. You're addressing Obama about all the deaths in Chicago at the first of the year, because I forgot what the death toll was, like, the first 2 weeks of Chicago, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, you put out a mixtape, didn't do too well, people dissed you left, right, back and forth, you know what I'm saying? So, like, by any means necessary to be relevant and to stay in people's mind, you're going to say and do whatever you feel you have to do to get that attention, whether it's good or bad. And at the end of the day, nobody told you to take that charge for Puffy. That's something you did being a fucking
idiot.
Take that. So, I mean, my thing is, we make choices in life. Some are good, some are bad. But don't sit there and take a bullet for somebody that you didn't have to, because by you doing that, okay, it showed your loyalty to Puffy, but at the same time, he didn't show his loyalty to you. He fucked you. So, that's with anything. When you do shit, you gotta think about all the things that come with it, good or bad. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to be the fall guy for anybody. You know what I'm saying? I was in the drug game. I took a fall because I got busted. I knew what the fuck I was doing when I decided I wanted to break the law and hustle. You know what I'm saying? So it's like when you align yourself with people, you just got to sit back and think, like, you got to take care of yourself. You got to think about yourself. You know what I'm saying? I'm not telling people, like, well, if you're in a situation, oh, you need to snitch. Hell no, you knew what the fuck you was doing. But in that Sean situation, why in the fuck would you even take that charge? Like, you know, was y'all fucking? I mean, was it something
now,
much more?
Now, let me just say, I have mixed feelings about that in general, because I think that, I don't know, I don't believe that you, I mean, I think it's real messed up if you take a charge like that to somebody else, and then you feel a certain, like, you can't be mad at anybody for the way that they act or react after that has happened because you decided to take on that particular type of responsibility. But I do think that it's easier said than done. Like, I think that talking about it, we can say, I would never do that. But maybe being placed in that particular predicament, it would be a different type of a story. Because then at that point, if you say, no, it wasn't me, like, I didn't do it, it was them, then that's snitching at that point, which is a whole another level of, you know, non-acceptable behavior. So, I mean, me personally, I have honestly been put in a predicament where some stuff has went down, and I'm talking about, like, I had never even gotten a speeding ticket before, and I found myself facing felony counts. And I wrote it out. Like, I was scared of shit. I'm not going to tell a lie and pretend like it didn't matter. I was scared. And I contemplated a lot of things in my mind, like, damn, what should I do? Should I do this? Should I do that? And I wrote it out knowing that there would be a possibility that I could very well, you know, be in jail, be in prison for something that I didn't even have any knowledge about, that had nothing to do with me. And I could tell them all about what happened. Like, I knew what happened, but I just kind of was in the wrong place at the wrong time. But that's just something that you have to do. Thank goodness for me, things worked out, right? And I'm good. So things worked out in my favor eventually, but I knew that was a possibility. But then there's some people that don't. Like, I have a friend right now, I have a homeboy right now that's, like, locked up doing his, like, 10 and a half year, like, on some dumb shit. Like, when we were kids, he used to run with this older dude, and they used to get money together. And the older dude did some real, like, he did some real fuck shit, and they got knocked, and basically, at that point, he was young. He was a teenager. So it was like, well, if you take this, you know, they're probably going to give you a couple of months in camp. You get a year in camp or whatever because you're a minor. It's going to be all right. I'm going to take care of you. Things are good. And he's like, yeah, like, it made sense because usually that's the way shit goes down. But when it came down to it, the judge threw the book at him. And now he's doing, I mean, they sentenced him to 13 years from the time that he was 16 and a half. And, you know, it's just the way shit goes, but it's like he took that. Yeah, I'm sure probably in the back of his mind, he's like, damn, I shouldn't have did that shit. But at the same token, too, it's like, what was he supposed to say? No, it wasn't me, it was him. He probably still wouldn't, it still would be bad for him because he probably still wouldn't be living to this day if somebody would have knocked him off for snitching. Like, how do you live your life being the tattletale? I think it's a catch-22. Damn if you do, damn if you don't. Nobody wants to go to jail for some shit that they didn't do. But you don't want to be that guy that runs their mouth either.
I look at it like this. The best way to solve that problem is ask why you got it.
You're like real low from the phone.
What say?
You was real far away from the phone.
No, I say the way I feel like these days, the best thing to do is to do crime on your own if you're going to do it. You know
exactly.
What I'm saying?
Like DMX said, do your dirt all by your own because you ain't going to tell on yourself.
Tell on yourself. You know what I'm saying? I mean, these niggas these days, they're scared of that time. You know? And they going to threaten them with 2 years of his telling because they don't. Being on the streets and being locked up is two different worlds. And once a nigga faces that reality, man, do your crime by your goddamn self. That way, you ain't got to worry about telling on yourself. You ain't got to worry about nobody telling nothing on you. So
hey,
that's
very true. As a matter of fact, I just did a report for this sociology class that I had not too long back, and the statistics say that 85% of crimes that are solved are not solved by good police detective work. It's solved because somebody always tells. So 80%, which means that it equates to 80% of people that are in prison are not in prison because they've been caught red-handed. They're in prison because somebody has told on them and one bad thing or another. So
look at First 48. Most of their cases get solved by the motherfucker, the co-defendants, or one of the other niggas just breaking and telling on their goddamn body. Well, you know, I was there, but I was just to look at, oh, well, okay, so what happened? You see what I'm saying? Now that he done put himself in the... Now that he done put himself... You know, he got to tell everybody else. You know, it's just crazy. Do it by yourself. And if you're dumb enough to do crime with somebody else these days, then you might well go ahead and accept the fact that when y'all get caught, your ass will be going down because they're going to tell on you. That's how I see it.
And then here's the kicker, though, because usually what happens, right, it'd be the fuck dude that tells, so it'd be the dude that...
Say that again?
I said what happened is it'd be the one dude that tells, the one dude that gets the time, and then what winds up happening is the guy that's out, the snitch that's out, winds up what? Sleeping with the girlfriend, the wife, the baby mama, whatever, right? Because now he out on the street.
Yeah, taking care of his own
goddamn body. So then it's like a double slap in the face. Not only are you going to jail and you doing time for some shit that this nigga done told on you about, but now you got some snitch punk nigga fucking your baby mama. That's like, that's some real fucked up type stuff.
Exactly.
And now she's so in love because he's still home and reaped whatever benefit came from whatever it is that y'all done together, right? So whether it's money or whatever the case may be. So now he's reaping the benefits of that and fucking your baby mama. And he's a snitch nigga. And now he's raising your kids to be tattletales too. Like, that's all true.
Put that in there. Nigga be trying to, the nigga be trying to break out to get to the nigga. You don't put that in your head.
You funny. You said, and she teaching your kids how to be tattletales. I mean, it's just sad because it's like people just do, if you can't do the crime, don't do the fucking time. Get the hell on. That's all I can say. We have come to the end of the show. I've got to give shouts out to Cloud Nation Radio and Liberal Democrat, Jazzy Fantasies, and Big Head Rob. No, I'm just playing. Oh, Lord. This has been quite an informative show, my current events. Ooh, this is the first show I did like this on a Friday. Not sure it'll be like that next Friday, but I'll be back Sunday night, 9:30 to 11:30. Got some new videos coming out next week, behind the scenes, in the studio for my mixtape. And Jazzy, I will keep you informed of Mr. Fasholi.
I'm very intrigued to see how that whole little thing works out, so do keep me posted.
Yes.
I feel like it will work out fine.
How the tour thing going?
What tour thing?
Your toys and stuff, how they selling?
Things are going really good. I'm actually a little bit ticked at you. I was going to hit you offline, but since you brought it up, I think I'll just say it now to the public. I'm a little bit ticked at you because you were supposed to do some things for me and then you kind of disappeared. But it's okay. I think he was like, nah, your dollar's not good enough. You don't have enough dollars. That's probably what it was, Rob. You probably just saying on me. I ain't have enough dollars. That's fine. I'm ready. I'm ready to do some business. and take it to the next level. So. Don't be quiet now, Rob.
What? I'm here. You hear me?
Yes, I'm listening to you. So I actually, you're going to have to get in your contact info because I don't think that I had it. I've gotten a new phone since then. But, yeah, give me your contact info because I'm actually looking to kind of make that happen. So this show is right on time.
Okay, write down my number.
Oh, you want to give it to the public? You advertise it right now? That's okay. Go ahead, give it to me.
I mean, hey, it's as long as they call me with
Everybody else who's in the marketing and promo, please do take down this number also.
It's 786 368
0723. I'm going to tweet this for you, too. Chuck, you should tweet Rob's number, too. So.
Chuck got my number. Chuck know how to reach me.
No, we're going to tweet it. We're going to tweet it to all Chuck's fans. You know she got a gazillion of them.
I know she had a bad feeling.
As long as somebody freaky with him and his new baby mama can knock him down, he good.
I wonder when you're going to throw that shit back in there, motherfucker. It's okay. Hey, one thing I say, relationships come and go, but my kids stay forever. So.
Mm-hmm. The ones you done made and the ones floating in your sack. I completely understand.
Listen here, I'm just trying to guarantee my legacy. That's
all
that is. That's all. Mr. Promo gonna live forever.
Mm-hmm. Go right ahead, Mr. Promo. Go ahead and live. Go ahead and live. I am getting ready to get off this phone, take my medicine so I can go to sleep. My damn back and my leg hurt. I got two new tattoos today. And great guys and Batman. I will take some clear pictures tomorrow. I posted them on Instagram, but I'm posting more tomorrow.
Okay.
So. You guys have a good night. Thank you for calling in. And I will be back Sunday night, 9:30 to 11:30.
That's what's up.
All right. It was a great show.
Thank you, guys. You have a good night.
Good night, ladies.
Good night.
All right.